I want to minister a word. I was really blessed. How many were blessed by Pastor Teresa's word last week? Boy, if you didn't get that, you need to get it, because I'm kind of dovetailing in on what she preached last week. And so I'm gonna do that. What a powerful word. Today I want to talk about faith in context to transformation, and specifically on the transformation of our minds. So our minds need to be renewed. Our minds are renewed and we're transformed. I talked about if you want to transform a region, which everybody wants to transform regions. We want to transform our neighborhoods, our nation, our other nations. We want to, but we have to transform this region, our heart. But it starts here with our minds. Our minds need to be renewed and transformed. So in that context, I want to start in Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So the question's out there, what is faith? What is faith? Is it just a belief system? Is it something that believers and non-believers have in various forms? Like you can have this faith and that faith, and we could name even a cult and say that's their faith. Is that what faith is? There are differing belief systems, but a lot of them don't align with Christianity. And they may refer to them as a type of faith, but today I want to talk about faith in the context of Christianity. I want to talk about faith that's right out of the Bible, Hebrews 11:1, faith is. So as we start to talk about faith, I want to bring it back down to focus. Hebrews 12:1-2 says, therefore we also, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So that's our part, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our what? Jesus is the author and finisher of our what? So we got to get that right off the bat, that our faith has an object. Our faith has someone we're looking to. Our faith has a beginning and an end. Our faith is found in Christ because he's the author of it, and he's the one who fills us with it. Jesus is the author. He's the source. If you want to track faith down, you have to track it to the source. Therefore, you can't really take a false belief system and take a cult and say, oh, they're of this faith. Not the same faith we're talking about when I'm talking to you today. Are you getting that? Hello? If it comes from Jesus, Jesus is the source. Jesus is not connected to false religion. He's true religion. Amen? So what is faith? Our faith, it's a substance of things hoped for. Faith is the evidence of the unseen. I mean, that's pretty powerful because there's a lot of things that you haven't seen yet, and faith is that evidence of it. Faith is what? When we go to Ephesians chapter 6, faith is what? Faith is that shield of our Christian armors. Come on, somebody. Faith is so much a part of our whole lives. Faith is trust in that unseen future. We can see in verses 8 through 11 with Abraham. Faith is the guarantee of answered prayer. We can see in James, what's it say? Ask in what? Two of you are going to ask in faith. Come on, someone needs to get this. I'll go to children's church. They'll get this. Faith is what? You know, we ask in faith. And if we ask in faith, we have. In Matthew 21:22, it says, ask believing and you'll have it. We want to move mountains. We want to be the people, when we pray, we want them to be effective. Otherwise, what are we doing? You know, we want to be effective in what we do. And faith is the key. Faith is at the center of it all. And then, I don't want to preach on this, but I want to kind of set it up. Just in Hebrews 11:32, he says, and what more shall I say if time would fail me if I tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets, who by faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. And it goes on to list all these things that faith has done. Well, that's to you today. You have a mission and a ministry in life, and faith is that thing that empowers you to do those things. So as I talk today, I'm talking about, we're reading about feats that happened before, but what about the one that's seated next to you? Take a look at somebody next to you. Because they have the power of God, and they have a call and a mission and a ministry and these great feats of faith. And so if we're going to look at Hebrews 11, what some call this, the great hall of faith, we have to go back to and point to the one in Hebrews 12, who is Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen? So as long as we have that in focus, we're going to move on. I want to talk about a guy. He's a friend of mine, actually, and he's a really neat guy, real humble guy, hardworking guy. How many are hardworking people? He had his own business, okay? Hardworking, had his own business and a construction business. But he was faithful. He was ushering, head usher in a church, not here, another church, head usher in the church, faithfully serving in his church, faithfully comes every Sunday. A man of integrity in his business. If he said he's going to do something, he'd do it. Even if he lost a bunch of money, he'd do it. If he had to finish a job, he'd do whatever it took. And I know some jobs he lost a lot of money in because he was a man of his word. God's watching the whole time all this is happening. And then guess what happens? Because he's a man of faith and because he's applying the principles I'm going to preach today, God gives him a download. And in one day, he gets a download of this thing, this ability, this creative idea that he gets just a download from God with this hydraulic thing that creates a door for these airplane hangers. And now he's like, it's like a multi-million dollar idea. Now he's not doing those buildings anymore. He's building these things as quick as he can build them. He can't even build them quick enough. And he's like, it's like a multi-million dollar thing. I mean, he still looks the same and hangs out and he goes to church and no one would know. He's real modest. He didn't pull up with a Maserati the next week, but he could if he wanted to, you know. But he's a really level-headed guy. All I wanted to tell you was is that when you position yourself and you're a man or a woman of faith and you're having your mind transformed, you're setting yourself up for the download instead of just saying, I wish I got that download. I wish I was a millionaire. I wish. Well, what do we need to do to position ourselves for those dreams to become a reality? Amen? That's what I want to talk about today is amazing faith. And it is amazing. He applied these five aspects of faith that we're going to cover today. So as we started in Hebrews, we're just going to go through each one. Number one is faith's deposit. I want to cover those first, I think first 12 verses in Hebrews. So number one, I want to talk about faith's deposit in us. Faith's deposit in us. Now, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that are not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good testimony. So there was something here, and even in the Old Testament, we read of Joshua who was in a position. He served Moses, and Moses dies, and Joshua is supposed to take the people into the promised land, and he's got a big thing on him. And I know some of you have great vision in this building. There's people in this building that are there's multi-million dollar ideas locked up inside of you. There's leaders in here of movements of greatness inside of you. There's people here that are going to transform and rock the arts industry and the music industry. They're going to rock there's people that are going to take the marketplace ministry to a whole nother level. There's people here that are going to rock missions. There's people that are going to plant churches. There's all these things all around us. What are all these things? It takes faith. And Joshua was a leader, and God's calling him to lead a bunch of people, and he was a little bit like, oh my goodness, I've got to follow Moses. You know what I mean? I mean, like, you want to step in after Moses, you know? That's amazing, you know? And so he was a little nervous, but he's commissioned. And in the commission, God said something to him and God gave him the key on how to be successful. I want to pull that out and we'll jump back into Hebrews. Joshua 1:8, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do all that's written in it. Then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So he said, he gave him the keys. Meditate in it, observe, and do it. Meditate on what you meditate on, you're going to do, and then what you do is going to become successful. And he said, and you're going to make yourself successful. Well, wait, we know God is the source of it all, but we have a part to play here. And what he's saying is that you can have your mind transformed and set yourself up for everything you need. Because faith not only gives you the creativity to have those creative ideas, but it gives you the power to walk them out. It gives you the power to transform, to build, and to design. The creative power and the strength and energy it takes to follow through. The leadership, all of it. Faith is part of all of these things that we read. And last week we saw Teresa did a great job on talking about transformation. She talked about the all the way to the neurological cells of the brain, and she brought it into the good and the bad and the dendrites that kind of look like a thorny tree are the bad ones, and the good ones look like a bunch of. Have you ever had trees that grow up next to each other and they're so healthy you don't even know which tree's which because they're all just blended together? They're just like growing up in a forest. And the good thoughts look like that. The branches just go all, and they're all entwined. They're not like thorny and sketchy like that. But that's like a bad cell, and there's good cells, and you either develop good cells or bad cells, and that is not the, that's not the place these creative ideas of God are going to land. That's not a landing strip for the anointing of God. That's not the landing strip in our brain. The good dendrites are, the good cells. That's cultivating the place for the dreams and visions to be fulfilled. We weren't created for our brains to look like that. We are created for our brains to be able to take the word of God. We have so much potential and untapped ability. There's so much untapped in our minds. And if we will avoid that and actually do things in our lives by meditating on the word of God, we can create good dendrites, good cells, and good neurological connections so that we can fulfill all that God's called us to fulfill. Have you ever seen somebody and you think, man, I saw you before and I see you now and you're totally transformed? Because they used to be like that, and now they look totally different. Their brain's totally different. Hello? So Joshua, he had this challenge. So Joshua's name in Hebrew is Savior or a Deliverer. And Joshua had a plan, and Joshua was to deliver God's people physically. Well, we know it's a type and a shadow, and the things in the old are a type and a shadow of the new. In the old, it's in the old we can see how Joshua, even his name meant Savior, but it was just a type and a shadow of Jesus, who was the Savior, who brought us in and delivered us and freed us. Come on, somebody. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of the unseen. So Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by what? Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the what? That's the same thing he told Joshua. Put that word in your mouth, meditate it in your mind, and you'll be successful and do what it says. And Romans tells us faith comes by hearing. Get it in your mind, meditate it, and then walk it out and do it and watch what happens. Why are they telling us that it comes by hearing? Why are they telling us the word needs to be in our mind? Because God creates that place for that creativity to flow. And he creates a place for those deposits to come. So the first point was that this deposit in us, faith deposit in us, it's the substance that sets us up for success. That faith deposit in us, it's a substance that sets us up for success. Faith deposit in us is that substance necessary for prosperity to take root. That substance of faith, I'm just saying the same thing over again because you're looking like a deer in a truck headlights. Faith deposit in us is what's necessary for prosperity to take root in us. See, some people, they win the lottery and they get all this money and they're broke before long. Because they didn't have the ability to steward what God gave them. And in the same way, we need to allow our minds to be transformed so that you can actually steward what he's called you to do in life. And if we neglect it and we're negligent to give to transform our thinking, we won't even be able to process what God's trying to do. It'll seem out of reach instead of have the ability to walk into it. It'll just be a promised land that's distant and they'll never cross over into it. But that's not what God's called us to do. So faith deposit in us releases God's design through us. And that's our next point. Number two is faith design through us. So faith deposit in us releases God's design through us. Number two, faith design through us. It says in verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Wow, there's so much to frame. There's so much to do. There's so much creativity just waiting to be tapped. Oh, everything that's been done has been done. And no. There's so much creativity. You guys just went to a creative conference. I heard it was awesome. Was it awesome? What a beautiful thing. And you guys have so much creativity in you. And there's so much creativity. God's loosened you. Cassandra, the creativity in the arts and with the arts department and with the dance and all of the different things. And we could say, okay, well, yeah, but she's a minister. She's like in the church all the time. What about me? Okay, Brittany's in the marketplace ministry, but yet there's a creativity and she went to a creative conference and had all of that transformation happen so she can be released into her creativity. And she's a marketplace minister. And as she's ministers and she has this creative gift with her bakery, which is a cakery, I guess I want to get it right. You know, taste and see cakery, but there's creativity where she prophesies and she does it in her business. You can be creative in your businesses. God will bless your ideas. The world is just waiting for the sons and daughters of God to be revealed. Yes. They're just waiting, and some people are getting it, and they're being transformed. It's not a separation. You can't separate church from your call. You can't separate it from marketplace ministry. You can't separate it. The way church used to be is it's separate. Church is over there. Business is over here. Family's over there. No. That's not the way it is. No, God wants you to take it, and this training ground is to prosper you. He said, man, I got a lot to do. I got a business. I got this and that. I can't afford to go to church. You can't afford not to go, because you're going to probably get some new thoughts. And even one good thought to meditate on during that week is enough. It's the Lord's day. Oh, I don't want to do that. I got a lot to do. I can do that anywhere. It's God's day. Just saying. I don't know how I got off on that. Moving right along. Thank you. Thank you for your creativity. Thank you for your sensitivity. But they're already having their minds transformed to be released into what God's called them to be. I could take people all over this room. There's calls and creative gifts and people. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Your thought process is crucial to your creativity. Your thought process is crucial to your creativity and for the creative flow. And it says in Psalms 1:1-3, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but delights in the law of the Lord. And listen to this, Psalms 1:2, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like what? A tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. So it says to take the word of God and meditate on it, and it'll be like a tree that flourishes, not a funky thorny dendrite that's broken down, but a tree that flourishes. It's the same thing God said in his word that he literally looks like if you take in and examine the cells of the brain. The flourishing tree is the healthy thought. This ugly, broken, thorny thing is the one that needs some love. These can be transformed out of your head. Are you with me? What he wrote is like real. See, science is realizing you can learn a lot about science. Read your Bible. So these dendrites, these neurological cells in your brain, they look like this. And the word, see, faith waters, it waters it, and it allows it to be transformed. It's so we need to continue, not just to come to church, but to every day meditate on the word of God, and you'll prosper. Think about Jacob. Jacob prospered because he put these spotted and speckled rods right in the trough, so when the animals would come in to mate. So he'd look at him and he'd go, man, that's one stud of an animal. And he'd be like, put the rods out because I want a bunch of that strong genes in my herds. And so this strong, you know, animals over here, and he's breeding, and he sees all these spotted things, and then the weak one comes, and he's like, take them away, and they do their breeding. And so just putting that thought in their head, they had all these spotted and speckled babies, and he prospered because he got all the spotted and speckled ones. You know the story, right? Well, what happened with those things? If that animal had to go to his happy thought had spots and speckles. Because, just saying, you'll get that if you're not married, forget it, but... You know, in their brains, they saw it. It went in their brain. And as they were mating, they had this image. It was burned in their brains. And it actually, yeah, that's a whole nother sermon. So moving right along, what I'm saying to you is your thoughts are very crucial to your creativity and what you produce in your life. Amen? So get some happy thoughts. Next one is, as I said, faith deposit in us releases God's design through us. Faith releases a continual reward. The third one is faith. It's a continual reward for the diligent. It says in verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please him. And you can't have your faith like shipwrecked because we just stop feeding it. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. There's something about continually seeking him. There's something about continuing to get faith. There's something about yesterday's and today's, because it says now faith is. We need faith in today, not yesterday's faith for today. We need to continually to feed our faith. There's a cycle. And so it comes through us. It comes to us so it can come through us so it can continue like a cycle. And there's a cyclical pattern. And so there's a reward of those who continually come. And if you want to prosper, you need to learn that secular cycle. You need to learn patterns to get the word of God. There's disciplines in the word of God to get it in and transform so that you don't pull away. And You know, I mean, you could take the best looking garden and neglect it. Come on, Valerie. And if you neglect a garden, because Ben won't go out and pull weeds. But, you know, one time I bought a house and they literally, this was on the cover of Better Homes and Garden, right? Better Homes and Garden. It was award winning garden. I bought the house and I'm like, dude, I'm a pastor, man. I'm busy. I'm busy growing lies. Not this guy lived in his yard. You know what I mean? He come home and just lived out there doing all this stuff. That thing looked like a thorny mess after a while. Everything just grew all over it. And I'm like, dude, cut it all down and throw some sod in, pay a guy to landscape, do the mowing of the lawn. I'm done with it. Boy, the neighbors thought I was like killing like this guy's dream. You know, they're out there going, you're ripping out his garden. Do you realize this was the award winning? And I didn't even, I mean, he said it, but it didn't even take root here. They were all would come by and gawk at his garden until I moved in. Man, I wiped that sucker out in no time. You know what I mean? Because I'm not into like pruning a bunch of plants. I'm not into like thorns and I want to grow lives. His call may be to those plants. Mine's to grow lives. You know what I'm saying? And it takes time. If I'd have spent the same time in that garden, it would have taken me out of the time I needed to lay the word of God and faith in me. We need the word of God and faith inside of us. And if you garden, praise God, do it. But like, I'm not bashing gardeners. I'm just saying in our brain, we have some of these things. And if we just let our faith go, our brain can look thorny. We don't need to go there. We need to be blessed. Number four is faith empowers us to deploy us. So when we get that cyclical cycle, it comes in us to deploy us. Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to places which he could receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. Sometimes faith's calling us to go. It's calling us to stretch out. It's calling us to branch out. It's calling us to reach out. It's calling us to go into new industries, to try new things, to go where other people haven't gone before. Abraham went where no one else went before, to go where no man's gone before. Oh. Anyway, he went. And, you know, and we should live like he lived. He just lived his life and he went knowing that he wasn't even a citizen there, but he was waiting for a city whose maker is God. And we need to be the same way. We're in life, but let's not grab hold of it too hard. This thing is a dress rehearsal for heaven. Yes, we're going to change lives on this earth. And yes, it's important to transform this planet. But we are built for the kingdom of God. And we're going to be there for eternity in the kingdom of heaven. And so we need to at least get that we are just strangers and aliens on this planet. This is not our destination. And so Abraham's like, come on, I'll throw down. I'll give up everything that I have and follow God's command to walk and to move forward into what he's called me to do. And there's something we can learn by that. Eternity waits for us. Our greatest inheritance is the one that's coming, not the one we're putting into our 401k. Now, a wise person puts it in there for your children, but we need to recognize when we neglect heaven, some people are putting it all on earth and they don't throw anything towards heaven and they're going to get there and realize they made a huge mistake. You know, Abraham, I like the legend about him. There's a bunch of legends and I can't tell you all about him. I just kind of read a bunch of stuff, probably never come out anywhere. But I was reading this and the legends that they had on Abraham, one of them said, I like the Arabs legend about him because there was one the Hebrews had on him and then the Arabs had this one. The Arabs had this legend on him that, you know, he comes, his father was Terah and Terah was worked for Nimrod, you know, and so you know how babies ask questions, you know, they're like, what about this, mommy? And you're like, oh my goodness. So Abraham's like, whose sheep are those? You know, they're Terah, your father's. Who's the one over him? You know, well, that's Nimrod, you know. Who's over him? Don't ask too many questions. He was already probing towards God. He was already pushing to find out about God ahead of time. And his father, the legend says his father was like, he made all these idols. He made one for each month. And he had this shop where he manufactured idols. And one day they stuck Abraham in the shop. And Abraham went in the shop and this lady brought in a bowl of meat. And she's like, here for the idol. So Abraham, like, she leaves. And he was kind of like bagging on it and stuff. Abraham takes a stick and knocks the heads off all the idols in the shop. And then puts the stick on one idol's hands. And his dad comes in and he's like, what happened here? And he's like, this lady brought a bowl of meat, and then the strongest idol out of all of them whooped the heads off all the rest because he was afraid he wouldn't have enough meat for himself. I mean, this is a boy transformer army. His dad's freaking out, like, what did you do? You know, and he's like, no, that, you know, the idol did it. You know, the strongest one. He said, he can't do that. It's only wood and clay. And he said, from your own mouth, let it be known, like what you're saying. It's only wood and clay. That was Abraham. He was already searching for God as a young little lad. He probably got whooped for that, but whatever. You know what I mean? I don't know. But, you know, he was already searching. He was already searching for that. So when he said, give up everything and follow God, he was willing to give up everything and just say, I'll give it all up. So faith deposit in us brings God's design through us so that we can see this continual reward so that God can deploy us. And sometimes we think, well, you know, is that it? You know, I've done great things and I've done this and I've done that. And the last one, five, is faith's ability to deliver. Hebrews 11:11, by faith, Sarah herself, who received strength to conceive a seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Faith releases trust in the author of faith. Faith releases us to believe even when we're beyond what people would say, you can't do that. You can't have a baby, you're 99. Hello, she did. Tell God someone can't do something. God just laughs. Ha ha, I'll show you. So, you know, who's set? So if you're here today and you go, that's great for these young whippersnappers, but you know, like I'm past my day. No. Hello, look at Sarah. No, faith will, if we let faith deposit to us, let it come to us. Let that creative be released. Let it be a cyclical cycle that continues in our life. And as we do and we keep bringing it, God is able, faith's ability to deliver. It will deliver. Our dreams will be birth. Our visions will be birth. Our plans will be birth. Even if you're 99 years old, they can still be birth. Ask Sarah. God is able and faith is the key because he's the author and what? He gets the last word. So when everybody else is saying, like, you can't do that, Dom, and you're like, talk to God. He's got the last say about anything. He can birth a dream. He can fulfill the dream because he's the beginning and he's the end. He's the source. He's the author. He spoke it. He said it. He has the power to finish it as long as I'm positioning myself and allow my brain to be transformed and renewed by the power of the word. You can do it. You can fulfill your calling. You can fulfill your mission. You can fulfill your ministry. You can still have a creative idea that changes everything in your life, just like my friend. Everything in his life. He worked hard and I saw the frustration on that one job when he lost tens of thousands of dollars, but he said, I'm going to do it because I'm a man of my word and I'm going to complete it. And he was given favor, but he worked really hard, but God had a different plan and he gave him this download. And now he's just been able to channel tons of money into the kingdom of God. And God can do it in an instant. God can just do it. And he's doing it all over the planet. Why not with you? If he did it with my friend, how come not? Then why not with you? Why not tomorrow? Why not the next day? Let's position ourselves, allow our minds to be transformed continually, daily. We take this word. If you say, well, you know, I don't want a thorny garden. This is the gardening tool right here. You say, I need a prophetic word. I need this and that. This one, you can get a hold of this word every day. I prophesy, just grab it and open it. No, I need someone to lay hands on me. How about you lay hands on it? Because he told Joshua, you will prosper. But something he was going to do, if you meditate, if you get a transform it. Yes, I realize it's not by might, not by power, by spirit. But we need to allow that garden to be developed. We need to change our thinking and then act on it when he gives it to us. Not be afraid to step out when the idea comes. And watch God because he's able to deliver. That was the word I needed to deliver to you. I hope you got something good out of it. God is good. I just want to pray for you. Would you stand? God, you're so good. I know you're able to fulfill your word. I know you're able to finish what you started. I just want you just to bow your head wherever you are around the room. God's able if you'll give yourself to him. You just have to yield. Salvation isn't about what you can do. It's about what you yield to what he's already done. Jesus paid the price on the cross. You can never pay it, but you can receive the gift or reject the gift. The gift is free. It's eternal life because he paid for it. It's not cheap. It's very costly. He paid for it with his blood. But I tell you today, you can go to heaven based on what he did or keep living under guilt and condemnation. So I'm asking you, if you're in this room and you say, I don't want to go to hell, but I can't do it. None of us could do it. None of us could earn it. None of us would ever be good enough. But Jesus paid the price. And he said that we could have eternal life through him by grace, not something that we've done, but by the gift of God, we can be saved. And And it's by saying, God, forgive me. The Bible says, if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart, we shall be saved. Do you believe in your heart? Then confess with your mouth. So I just want to pray with you all around the room. And if you're here and you say, I want to go to heaven and I don't know, would everybody just bow your heads for a second? The Bible says, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. I just want to tell you, I'm standing here and I'm a man. And I just want to ask you, if you don't know you're going to heaven and you want to, would you just, you open your eyes and just go like that real quick. Just slip up your hand so I know who you are and just say, here I am. I want to go to heaven and this is my first time. I'm going to make it sure. Maybe you say, I've done the things and I've followed religious rituals. I was baptized and all that, but I wasn't on the wrong path and I needed to get right. So I'm asking you now, if you're saying, I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven, but I want to, and I want forgiveness for my sins, just look up and raise your hand. If you say, I've done that, but I know I'm kind of on a wrong path, but I want to set it right, just look up and raise your hand so I know I'm praying with you. We're all going to pray together. I'm not going to single you out. I'm just asking you, with everybody's head bowed, if you'll just say, here I am. There's something about it when you just say, here I am, here I am. Amen. Anyone else, just say, here I am. We're going to pray. Okay, let's all pray together. Pray this prayer, all of you. Even if wherever you're at, whether you're in a great spot, a good spot, or not so good spot, or a totally bad spot, it's okay. All of you just pray this prayer. And we're just going to affirm our salvation and just pray for forgiveness. Would you say this and say, Father, forgive me. This day, I recognize that I've sinned. I ask for your forgiveness. And today I receive forgiveness because I believe and your son, Jesus. I believe the gospel. And I ask you now to fill me with strength. Fill me with your spirit. To live a life that's pleasing to you. Fill me with faith. And transform my thinking. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to pray over you before you leave. Father, I pray you'd bless them. I pray, God, this word would just take root in them. I pray like the psalmist, this would be a word they hide in their heart. I pray, God, that every day they'd find that that stream of faith is real easy. It's simple and it comes. If we just put in that time to allow the word of God to transform us, faith will come. So God, I pray that you'd open those doors. I pray that you'd open those Bibles, open those, whatever it takes to get your word in. I pray you'd bring back those times and I pray, God, that you'd refresh them during them. And that you would just cleanse and allow their minds to be transformed to do the great things you've called them to do. I bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Hey, listen, as we close the service, there's a prayer team coming up. If you need prayer, come on up. They'll pray with you. God bless you. We'll see you.